We're in a series right now here at Bayside called The Basics with a Twist. And we're going to have three parts to this series. And with each part, there's going to be a challenge. And if you've been here at all in the last month or so, since the beginning of the year, we have kind of been going through this series. So you've probably heard part of this series. And if you haven't, that's okay. You can jump right in with us today. Or this series is actually kind of stems from Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 10 through 20. And the first part of this series was reading God's Word, getting back to the basics, starting with reading God's Word. And we gave a challenge to our congregation, to everybody here, to anybody here, whether you're a member or a tender or a first-time visitor, we gave a challenge to read through the Bible in 2013, the entire Bible, to read through it cover to cover in this year. And we gave that challenge in three different ways. You could do it either in 90 days, in 180 days, which is half of the year, or in 360 days, spreading out all over the entire year. And we just want to give you a quick update. We actually have 238 folks from Bayside that are reading through God's Word this year. We are very excited about that. That is awesome. And we are already seeing how that is being influenced in our congregation, in conversations and emails. That was the challenge for reading God's Word. The second part of the back to the basics is getting back to the basics and prayer. And so today is kind of the third part of that. And we began that 2 weeks ago, and Mark continued that last week. And it kind of stems from the middle of this passage in Ephesians 6 and starting with verse 18. And it says this, "Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." All the saints. And so we talked a little bit about all these alls that it says in there in the last couple of weeks. And all of the saints, you might be asking, what does that mean to pray for all of the saints? The saints that Paul was talking about were the Christians. They were the believers in the Christian world at the time that he was writing those letters. And so it was the people in the cities that he was sending these letters out to and all over the world there, because Christ had just recently had lived his life, had died on the cross, had been resurrected and ascended into heaven. And this was spreading across the world, this belief and this truth about Jesus Christ. And these people, Paul called the saints, as the church continued to grow larger and larger. And as he wrote to them, he called them saints. And so we take that literally to mean that we are to pray for all the Christians, all our brothers and sisters in Christ, in the whole world. And so we thought about that. Could we really pray for every Christian in the world? The challenge then that we came up with is to pray specifically for every country in the world in 2013. And in doing so, we would pray for every Christian in the world. Pray for all the saints. And so that is the challenge that we have set up, and we want you to join us in that. This here is our challenge for 2013 in praying. On this prayer guide, there's dates, and we've kind of taken out the weekends and some of the holidays so that we could pray over every country and spread it out over the entire year. As you know, there's a few more than 200 countries in the world, and so being that there's like 300 and some odd days left in the year, we're spreading it out, taking out weekends and holidays. And so what we want to do specifically is pray together as a church specifically for each country on each day. So meaning that tomorrow, Monday, January 28th, we will all pray for Canada. And if you forget to pray, that's okay. You can still pray for Canada at any time you want, because that's great. But then on Tuesday, we're going to all pray together for Greenland. And you understand how we're going to do this together. You look at the date, and on that date, we are going to pray for that specific country, because we want to pray together as one congregation together, lifting up prayers on behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ that are in all these different nations, on behalf of all the saints. And last week, Mark talked about that. He talked about why is it important for us to pray for all the saints. And there was two reasons for that. Number one, because they need it. And number two, because God is the only hope. God is the only hope. And we can lift the saints up to God on their behalf. And God is their only hope. And so we can do that together here as a congregation. So we ask that you would join us in that by praying for each of these nations on these specific days throughout the year. There's also in your bulletin, there should have been a card. And if you got the card, it might have been paper-clipped to the prayer guide. And so you have this card also. What we want you to do is we want you to fill out this card and say, yes, I am going to commit to praying for all the nations. And so just write your name and your email address and just check there that I'm joining the challenge to pray for all the saints in 2013. First of all, because we want to know that you are praying. We want to know how many of us are doing this together. And then second of all, if you have an email, you can put it on there. And what we're going to do is we are going to send one email with an attachment, a PDF of this document. And what it'll look like is this. We have it up on the screen. This is what it'll look like. You'll get this on your computer. We'll email it to you. And then what you can do is you can click on each one of these countries. They're underlined like a link. You click on that country, and then it's going to pull up a website. The website is operationworld.org, which is also listed on your prayer guide. And as you can see, it pulls up this website. So if we clicked on Canada tomorrow, it'll pull up Canada. When it comes to Canada, we might already know. It's just a couple hours north on the highway and you're there, right? Okay, but like when you get to Gibraltar, like, you know, where is that? There's going to be a lot of nations here that you might not have ever even heard of, okay? And so this is a great opportunity to go on this website, great resource. And so you can see it tells you the geography, some of the people that make up this country, the religions, the Christians, percentages of evangelical Christians. And then also it'll give, like it says there, challenges for prayer. It'll give you some things to pray specifically about. If you have the time to do this, this is a resource for you. Now, you may not have the time to do that, and so you'll just pray for Canada, and that's fine. But if you want to know more about some of these nations and peoples that we are lifting up to God on their behalf, this is a great way to do that, and it's a great resource. So fill this out and turn it in either the boxes on your way out or to a staff member, myself, or at the Welcome Center. Just get it into us so we can email that to you today, and you can have this document and be able to research as you pray for each of those countries and just learn a little bit more about them. Now, as you do that, the neat thing is that you may start to grow fond of a country. You may learn a little bit about a country and may start to really love it. That may happen. Or you may have a nation that is already on your heart. And just for an example, one that's on our heart here at Bayside is the country of Ukraine. And some of you know this, but many of you probably don't. But we have a sister church in the country of Ukraine. And we have been supporting this church since 2004. For almost 10 years now, we have been sending support to this country of Ukraine, to the specific church, the Voice of Truth Church in Konotop, Ukraine. We've also sent 7 missions teams over to Ukraine to work with them and their community and their village and also to minister to them. And it's just a powerful and an awesome relationship that we have with our sister church in Ukraine. And this summer, we're actually going to be sending another team. And so if you're excited about that and maybe it intrigues you or you thought about mission work, we'd love to have you learn more about that trip. And you can come and talk to me or Pastor Mark or anybody on our Ukraine team or our missions team. And specifically, we actually have a meeting tonight. So if you're really gung-ho about it and you want to come and know more about this trip or maybe you want to go, you come tonight. We're going to have that meeting at 8 p.m. here at the church tonight and talk more about that. And if you can't make it tonight, just come and talk to me or Pastor Mark and we'll get you more information. But this summer, we are planning a Bayside trip to Ukraine and to visit with and minister to our sister church there. We're very excited about that, and that's just one example of a nation that we have a heart for here at Bayside. So be praying for the Christians this year in every country in the world, and as you do that, we can pray for all the saints. We can pray for all the saints. We ask you, will you join us on this challenge to pray for every nation, to pray for every Christian, to pray for every saint in 2013? We will start tomorrow with Canada. Please let us know that you will join by turning in this card, and we thank you for that. You might be thinking now, as we've given this challenge, and we gave the Bible reading challenge, and you might be thinking, or if you haven't thought it, maybe you'll think it later, or maybe it's crossed your mind, but the question is out there, why all the challenges? Why all of the doing? Why is Bayside so adamant, and why are the pastors preaching this, and is the leadership pushing this on the people that come here at Bayside? Why are all these challenges? We want you to know that we certainly believe that we do not need to do anything to earn our salvation. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You can follow along with me. Today I'll be in Ephesians and also in the book of James. If you have a Bible, pull it out right now. You can open up to Ephesians. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you. And if you want to follow along, we'll have it also up on the screens. But Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Again, our salvation only through the faith in Christ. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." So please understand what we believe, that we believe our salvation comes not from a work of our own, but it is the gift of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So why then the challenges? Why the doing? Why the reading the Bible? Why the prayer? Why in a couple weeks we're going to challenge you to share your faith? Why? Because God's word challenges us to be doers of the word. If you turn to James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, it says this, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like, forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." He will be blessed in his doing. We are to be doers of the word. When we put our faith in Christ, we become one with Christ, the Word. John chapter 1 says that Christ was the Word. He is the Word. And when we put our faith in Christ, we are in the Word. The Bible is clear that we are to live out the Word in our life. And we can live out the Word in our life by starting with the basics, reading God's Word, praying, and sharing our faith. And that is what we are challenging Bayside, our church, this congregation, to do in 2013. To be doers of the word. We take action into our faith. In the next chapter, James chapter 2, verse 22, it says, "You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works." In this section of scripture, James is talking about Abraham, whose faith was credited to him as righteousness, and whose faith was active along with his works, whose faith was completed by his works. We are to live out our faith in action. We are to live out our faith in action. If we put our faith in Christ and never take any action, then our faith is dead. Did you hear me on that? If we put our faith in Christ and we don't have any action, and we don't take any action on that faith, our faith is dead. Read with me in chapter 2, 5 verses earlier, verse 17. "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Is your faith dead?
Come on, man.
I had to ask myself that. Is there action behind my faith in Jesus Christ? Has it truly changed the way that I live? My faith in Christ. When faith is put into action, when our faith inspires us to take action, when our faith moves us into action, that is when our faith is alive. That is when our faith is alive. Let's read it again. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." You know, looking in the mirror, let's think about that for a second. You all know what you look like. It's because you've looked in a mirror or you've seen a picture of yourself. Am I right? Has anybody in here ever not looked at a mirror or a picture of themselves? We all have. You know, I showed you those pictures of my kids, and children are awesome. They're wonderful, and it's fun to raise them. And think about a child. Have you ever seen a child in front of a mirror? They absolutely love it. They love seeing themselves. Some of us love seeing ourselves in the mirror. Am I right? And we spend time in front of the mirror preparing ourselves. Some girls more than some guys, right? And some guys do too. Don't get me wrong. Right? But this is the truth. We know what we look like. You wouldn't forget what you look like. Putting your faith in Christ and then not acting out on that faith is forgetting who we are. It's forgetting who Christ is in us. It is forgetting that our identity is in Jesus Christ. And so it's like someone who looks in the mirror and forgets what they look like. We don't forget what we look like. We are who we are. And we work on it. Have you forgotten what you look like? If you've put your faith in Christ and you're not living out that faith with your actions, your faith is dead. Your faith is dead. You don't forget what you look like once you see yourself in a picture or in a mirror. In the same way, when we have faith that is alive, it comes out in the way that we live. It becomes our identity. When we put faith in Christ, we strive to be more like Christ, and Christ is reflected in us, and people can see Christ in us. When we are doers of the Word becomes who we are. Christ becomes our identity. When we are truly doers of the Word, it shows the world who we are. It shows the world who we are. Have you forgotten who you are? 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. We are in him. Are you in him? It's challenging to think about because we are all human beings. We all have a sinful nature. We all have habits. We all have some bad habits and even some good habits, habits that are not bad things, but they take us away from what our point is and what the purpose is of our lives, and they take us away from our true identity, and they allow us to forget who we are. Have you put your faith in Christ? If you haven't put your faith in Christ, then today is the day of salvation. Today you can say, yes, Jesus, I want to put my faith in you. I want to give you my life. Because today, for grace, you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. If you've never put your faith in Christ, please, today, give him your everything. But if you've put your faith in Christ, have you forgotten who you are? I want to go back again to Ephesians chapter 2, and like I just read, in verses 8 and 9, it's very clear about salvation. We are saved by grace through faith, not by our works, not by our doing. But, verse 10 says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We were created to live for him. And if we put our faith in him, it is our calling to live for him, to get into his word, to spend time with him in prayer, and to share our faith. This is our calling. God's word couldn't be more clear. So the truth of the matter is this. You can put your faith in Christ and you are going to go to heaven and you are saved by the grace of God and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Come on now.
But if you don't take action behind that faith, your faith is dead. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, that our faith should come alive. So that leaves us with two questions today for all of us to ponder. Is your faith dead, or is your faith alive? I want you to really think about that today. As I prepared this message, as I prayed, as Pastor Mark and I talked over this topic, and as I've discussed it with him and other leaders of our church and deacons and other people, I've had to ask that question because there are days when my faith is dead. There are days when I get focused on other things, when Christ is not at the center of my life. We have to keep our focus on Christ and keep Christ at the center of our life. That is when our faith becomes alive. So ask yourself today, have you forgotten what you look like? Have you forgotten who you are? Have you forgotten your identity? Is your faith dead? Or is your faith alive? Here at Bayside in 2013, our goal is to grow deeper into our relationship with Jesus Christ and into the Word of God. We are challenging everyone and anyone to join us in that endeavor. Whether you've been a member here for many years, whether you just attend regularly and you're not interested in any type of membership, whether you give money to this church or whether you've never given a penny, it doesn't matter. Whether this is the first time you've ever walked in the door, or maybe you came last week or 2 weeks ago, or maybe you were here 20 years ago when we were at Ogden Avenue Baptist. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're here today, we want you to join us in this endeavor. We believe that God will move in a mighty way this year. And it starts with getting back to the basics. Digging into God's word. Committing to prayer. And sharing our faith. Each one of us can do this individually. But the twist is this. That we can do it together. So that is the challenge. 238 of us, and maybe more, counting more, hopefully, if you were here today and you want to join us in reading through the Bible. 238 of us reading through the Bible this year. How many of you will join us as we take on the challenge of praying for every saint, every Christian in the world in 2013? Will you join us as we take on this challenge to be doers of God's word? The word is very clear. If you open it up and you look into it and you say that you're a believer, if you say you're a Christian, you say you have faith in Jesus Christ, then you should know this book because this book is the Word of God. And the Word of God, as it tells us in here, is Jesus Christ. And if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, then this is for you to live out every single day of your life. Today, the challenge is this, to really look intently at our lives, deep in our hearts. Have you forgotten who you are in Christ? Is your faith dead? Are you ready to come alive? Let's pray. God, I pray right now, and I come before you humbly, Lord. And I pray on behalf of every person in this room this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that you would allow us to truly look into our hearts, to really analyze ourselves, God, and to find if we've forgotten who we are, God, that our identity is not in ourselves, God, that our identity is not in our families, God, that our identity is not in this church, but God, that our identity is in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we would find our identity there, and that it would become who we are in the way that we live out our faith actively, doing your word. God, I pray that you would spur us on, that you would challenge us and encourage us, God, and that we would be motivated by your word and motivated to be people, men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ, people of action, people of faith in action, doers of the word. I pray that for all of us in this room. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.